ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Celery Report. This is Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this week. Today is Thursday, October 8th, 2020. Well, the state of our currency is winging its way to the print subscribers. If you don't have it by the end of next week, please leave a ticket at support to let us know. We're sending you two copies, in part as a thank you for your patience, and in part because we're confident you're going to want to lend the copy, and we want you to have your copy so you also have a circulating copy, and that way you don't give away your copy. Dark Journalist has published part two of a three-part series that we recorded last week. I'm going to do the David Knight show tomorrow on Friday, and they usually put that up pretty quickly. And then we just published a book review on COVID-19, The Great Reset, by Klaus Schwab, who runs the World Economic Forum. I was pretty critical of the book, and the book was a little bit frightening. Let me just describe some of the parts. Usually when I read a book, if I don't want to recommend it, I don't write a review. I try to keep the reviews to the books I want to recommend to subscribers, but this was an exception. I don't recommend this book. If you want to understand the global reset, read The State of Our Currency. Let me just read some sections. Last Sunday, I spent 9 hours recording our quarterly News Trends and Stories analysis with Dr. Joseph Farrell. This is the intellectual equivalent of playing right road, left road over a beautiful countryside in a Ferrari. The next day on Monday, I read COVID-19, The Great Reset by Schwab and his colleague, Terry Malloray. It was like driving the Ferrari off a pier into an ocean of saltwater taffy. Since then, I've been cleaning off the goo and trying to think of a framework for commenting on the extraordinary and growing divide between reality and official reality. This one shocked me, and it's worth taking a look at the book review to understand. It's almost as though Schwab doesn't realize that the line has moved, that people are much smarter. Maybe not everybody, but certainly the 10% are much smarter than they give them credit for. And I ended it by saying it's time to catch up. Despite the complexity and uncertainty, reality beckons. It's kind of frightening. The other possibility is they're just pitching the younger generation and they just don't care what anybody who has any kind of experience or education really thinks. There was a lot of discussion in it about inequality, and of course they don't really go into all the things that lead to inequality. Very interestingly, Time magazine just published a big article on a RAND study that showed essentially that the bottom and middle had lost $50 trillion to the top, and I thought that $50 trillion was pretty interesting because it's exactly the money that's missing from the U.S. government and went out on the bailouts. So there was there's $29 trillion of bailouts and $21 trillion of missing money. It totals $50 trillion, and suddenly the top guys are richer by $50 trillion. What a coincidence. But I would note Wealth Advisor came out this week. Let me just read this. Coronavirus has boosted total billionaire wealth to its highest level ever. Since the pandemic began, the total wealth held by billionaires around the world has grown by a quarter to over $10 trillion. And now we're talking about massive centralization. The landmark coincides with another one in the billionaire world, with the world's first ever 200 billionaire, Jeff Bezos' net worth crossed the 200 billion mark in August, just when UBS and Pricewaterhouse were tallying up the data for its annual report on billionaires. That report, released on Wednesday, October 7th, shows that collective billionaire wealth has grown at its fastest rate over any period over the past decade. The magic virus does again. Between April and July, billionaires grew their wealth by 27% from $8 trillion at the beginning of April. This was largely thanks to government stimulus packages. Billionaire wealth is loosely correlated with equity markets, notes the Riding the Storm report co-published by UBS and Pricewaterhouse. From the end of March, government's huge fiscal and quantitative easing packages drove a recovery in financial markets. Over half of the stocks and shares owned by American households are held by the richest 1% according to research by Goldman Sachs. As market rises, as they have done since March, the wealthiest therefore see the biggest gains. The coronavirus relief package has only helped those gains. A loophole in March's legislation allowed millionaires to benefit to the tune of about $1.7 million from the government. A further 133 large companies have since received $5 billion from the Treasury Department. In the UK, government stimulus packages worth over £16 billion have gone directly into billionaire-owned companies, data in June revealed. And you'll be pleased to know, after paying their latest billion-dollar fine, are you ready for this? JP Morgan pledges $30 billion to fight the racial wealth gap. I'll bet you dimes to donuts before it's over. A lot of that money goes to opportunity zones. If you haven't read our commentaries about the riot damage in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and Minneapolis, Minnesota, I strongly recommend you do. It's very, very important for survival in the United States at this time. You understand the patterns around opportunity zone. My guess is that JP Morgan Chase will be knee-deep in that game. But it's a game we all need to understand and protect ourselves from. Take Action Crowdfund, another big thank you. We continue to get donations and refer donations to Children's Health Defense, Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, and Stand Up Ohio. We're going to be looking to add more litigation efforts to that. We have interviews with Mary Holland from Children's Health Defense, Tom Rentz from Stand Up Ohio, and as Elizabeth Rich, and of course, Pete Kennedy is now doing our food series from Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. And we're going to keep asking John Rappaport to interview lawyers for us. We think litigation can make a very, very big difference. And this is a very important way to fight. With the Lake Geneva event over, we're back to training people who want to host groups in their area. We're looking to create in-person, offline communication in small groups. So if you're interested, just let us know by putting a ticket at support or emailing customer service at solaria.com. As I said last week, we had a French subscriber come to Stavoren for lunch last week. Anybody who wants to come to Stavoren, I'm happy to buy you lunch or dinner. Just find your way. My trip to Italy for Pista Sofia with Ulrich Groniger with stops in Switzerland, France, and Belgium got canceled due to COVID restrictions. I'm quite sad about that, but I have plenty of wrap-ups to get out. We expect the second quarter 2020 wrap-up to head to the printer this month. And then I'm going to turn to getting Deep State out. So I'm excited to do that. For those who make it to the Pista Sofia workshop, have a wonderful time. I know there's several Solaria Report subscribers headed that way. Our theme tonight is when Mars joins Mercury in retrograde. I've never been much of an astrologist, and I've had several wonderful subscribers try and help me understand it, learn it, give me the best books. I don't know what it is. I'm just not compatible. But one thing I did learn when we started to grow a lot of California subscribers is the idea of what happens when Mercury goes into retrograde. And all I knew was every time Mercury went into retrograde, the friction of war increased dramatically. Things would You'd sign a contract, it would get unwound. You'd sign up 2 steps, back 3 steps, up 2 steps, back 3 steps. Anyway, so I started to take this Mercury retrograde thing seriously, and then I realized Mars went into retrograde in September 9th. We'll be there till November 13th. Mercury goes into retrograde in October 14th to November 3rd. There are other planets also in retrograde, and I must say, it certainly has that feeling. And that's because despite the fact that there's no statistical reason for declaring a pandemic, we are watching on the layering on of restrictions, the additional restrictions, the extension of restrictions with no reason whatsoever. So there's no doubt that the totalitarian state is on. Russ Blaylock, who is a doctor I have a great deal of respect for, did an interview with Patrick Wood, and he just laid it out. There is no pandemic to justify any of the measures being taken. And what we're watching as this, it really is the friction of war rising tremendously as you're layering on all these completely unnecessary restrictions, or certainly unnecessary for the reason that's given. It's leaving millions of people to try and figure out what is really going on and what they can do about it. There is sickness and death, and I have to tell you, as you know, I think it can be turned on and off. The question is, what is causing it? The numbers are no greater than an annual flu. And certainly the restrictions that they're being used to justify are killing many more people, are causing much more sickness than the disease itself. But the question is, what is being used to spike cases and cause sickness? And most certainly, it looks to me like some kind of poisoning, whether it's spraying or flu shots or vaccines or what's getting put into various pharmaceuticals or sort of other things that we ingest. Part of this millions of people trying to figure out what is really going on is more and more people litigating. Several people this week sent me a video, which we posted last week. We'll publish it again, of a German attorney who's also admitted to the bar in California. And he's part of a German group that really went through and sort of documented their findings about essentially the global crime. COVID-19 is a global crime. His name is Rainer Fuhlmich, and he's published several videos. One is Crimes Against Humanity, and it's linked at News Trends and Stories and in my Twitter feed. If you look at the litigators starting to build and bring cases, you know, you're talking about some very, very serious talent here, which is good news. John Rappaport just published a new article. The smoking gun is, where is the coronavirus? The CDC says it isn't available. And he sent a study, you can read it, and I've got the link to his article here. I had a scientist friend confirm before I published, he is following the CDC track of what he says is abstraction piled on abstraction, so as they can, as they try to do a workaround to justify the fact that they have not isolated the virus. Basically, it hasn't been proven under Koch's postulates. Then someone posted a study after I emailed back and forth with John that there's been a test in hamsters that supposedly proves the Koch postulates with respect to coronavirus in hamsters. And I went, huh? What? Anyway, I sent that back to John to see what he said. I also sent it to Sherry Tenpenny to see what she said. Anyway, what is really unfortunate, if you look at all the different issues coming to a head over the last year, what we've just missed is one of the great opportunities in the elections this fall throughout the Western world to have a really meaningful conversation about what's going on and what we do about it. It was an incredible opportunity to use the campaign to have a serious discussion, and a great deal of time and money has been spent, whether with the riots or the protests that have been, you know, really faked and engineered, and the mind control and the COVID-19, is it's really all designed to stop a meaningful conversation. You know, whether it's divide and conquer or just rules that make you stand 6 feet apart. And just note the hero this evening, because his situation is a metaphor for what is happening to every single person on the planet. One of the things you discover as you work your way through the friction of war is how math challenged everyone is. And I'll just use the U.S. as an example. So according to CDC, so far we've had 10,000 COVID deaths in 2020. So maybe that's up to 11,000, but we'll just use 10,000. every year there are 647,000 or 650,000 deaths from heart disease. So, you know, America's dying. Broken hearts are killing a lot more people in America than COVID-19. So accidents, 169,000. Chronic lower respiratory diseases, 160,000. Stroke, 146,000. On and on and on. Suicide, 47,000. So suicide can be expected to kill more people this year. It's another variation of broken hearts. McDonald's reported its best month ever in September, so shutting down all those local and family restaurants seems to be working well for the people trying to control the food supply. It's certainly not going to make anybody healthier. So expect the war to continue between the billionaires trying to harvest as much as they possibly can and the various pandemic heroes going to work to try and engage in massive litigation and trench warfare about what's really going on. Okay, money and markets. I'm working with a Wednesday close, and again, all returns are total return for 2020 year to date. U.S. dollar index now down 2.48%. More people talking about what's going to happen to the dollar and the extent to which the dollar is inflating and debasing. The push for cryptos is absolutely dazzling and on. Example, Bank of Korea has now begun testing distribution of a digital currency. More reports on how China's testing is going. The big news to me is DOJ has come out with a cyber digital task force releasing their cryptocurrency enforcement framework. When the Department of Justice gets serious about how enforcement is going to work, that's when you know the thing is out of the early prototype phase and into serious money going forward. I put the press release in the show notes if you're interested, and we have a link to the press release, and you can look at the whole framework and download it there. Fixed income, the long treasury is up 18.92%. That's spectacular performance, but way down from where it's been cut almost in half. The intermediate up 10.62, bond aggregate up 6.41%, and junk is down 9 basis points, so essentially flat. Equities, S&P continues to outperform most global markets. It's up 7.43%. The home builders are flying at 23.02%. Hard to believe because lumber is killing a lot of home builder profits. Lumber is just up tremendously depending on what kind of lumber and grade you're getting, but I've gotten reports of it anywhere from 30 to 100%. What's interesting is how hot the real estate market is given sort of late payments on mortgages, and I think about 15% in the U.S. are running. I don't have a figure for Europe or other parts of the world. VGK, the European ETF, is now down 6.97% for the year. Germany in the black at up 2.18%. And developed markets minus North America down 5.48%. China almost flat, down 80 basis points. And emerging markets up 1.21%. The commodity index is now backed up. It's down 19%, 19.5% for the year. Gold's returns dropped a bit, 24.02% for the year. Silver has dropped a lot from where it was. It's up 32.43%, which is a pretty glorious performance. And, of course, oil's still in the doghouse. A lot of interesting things going on in the energy market. I'm just reading Daniel Yergin's new book, so I'll see if that helps. For stories, the most important story to focus on, I think, this week is the pounding we're watching selected places around the world experience. It's a combination of economic hit and disaster hits. And we can talk, and Joseph and I often do, about whether these hits are natural or engineered. I think in many cases, these are engineered and there's weather warfare, but whatever the truth is, they're certainly accelerating. So this week I'll use two examples in the United States. California is taking unbelievable economic hits. Latest statistics from San Francisco, 49% of the small businesses have been shut down. But you also see incredible fires all over both North and Southern California. 18 posted an article this week, 18 wineries in Napa Valley either burnt down or seriously hurt. That's extraordinary, just absolutely extraordinary. So the economic hit from COVID-19 and the fires in combination is a brutal, brutal experience. And then in Louisiana, we see another hurricane, Hurricane Delta, headed for the Louisiana coast. And the combination, it doesn't look like it's going to hit New Orleans, but New Orleans had, after San Francisco, one of the worst hits on its small business, I think down 42%. 42% of small businesses closed. That's a very ugly hit. To take another hurricane after all the hurricanes Louisiana's taken, it's really tough. But, I'm very suspicious because the mouth of the Mississippi is one of the most important strategic geographic locations to control if you're going to control North America. As everybody on the whole planet knows, the President Melania Trump tested positive late last week for COVID-19. And, of course, big speculation about what really happened. Did they really test positive? Was the test meaningful? How are they? Where were they? And it's interesting, the president was said to be at Walter Reed Hospital, but if you look at some of the videos he published, he was clearly on a ship because the flags behind him were moving up and down. So a lot of speculation that he was off for security reasons. There's no doubt that this, as well as the sort of rush of COVID-19 through the White House and White House personnel, which I find exceptionally suspicious, puts a damper on his ability to campaign. If you look at how he was performing out in the field, vis-a-vis Biden, Biden was getting almost no crowds, and Trump appeared to be doing much, much better on the hustings. It's interesting, the president and first lady being announced to have or be positive COVID-19, again, makes it look like there's a lot more of this around than there is. I started checking into the Tennessee stats pretty deeply, looking to corroborate a story that somebody from Tennessee sent me, which turned out to be not true. Lewis County, which is where Hohenwald is, this year has had 3 traffic fatalities and 1 COVID-19, which is one of the reasons their real estate prices are flying and everybody's trying to move in. Hardeman County, where Hickory Valley is, where I live, has 7 traffic fatalities so far this year and 3 COVID deaths. Now, I'll bet you dimes to donuts that 1 COVID death in Lewis County and the 3 in Hardeman County were probably comorbidities. So I'm not even sure they've had any deaths. But suffice to say that they're having to live with social distancing restrictions and masks and all sorts of other silly business, including, businesses being destroyed because of, 1 or 3 deaths. You can imagine how that feels like. So, having New York problems set policy for rural counties in Tennessee, you see what the problem is. Another problem I want you to think about is what I call the Phoenix Program Army. Somebody sent me a note from Ashland, Oregon today. At the rate things are going, there may not be much to come home to. No joke. I watched a large moving van unload a likely Soros-funded cell into a home in Ashland a couple months ago. The new tenants were sitting in their yard watching their things being brought into the house. They had already put up a Black Lives Matter sign in the front yard. If I'm correct, Georgie's people are planning and installing. When he says Georgie's people, he means George Soros, are planning and installing cells in small and medium towns all over the place. They are in Medford and Grants Pass, too. I agree with that. I think the one of the reasons you see a real push by the Democrats on the stimulus package to let lots and lots of prisoners out of jail, is they're literally moving their sort of Phoenix program army into all sorts of places and neighborhoods. So you really want to watch who's moving into your community and who and what they are. And that's why I keep saying, please pay more attention, much more attention to your local elections than the presidential election, because the issues that are most important to your well-being, safety, will be controlled locally. And that's why if you can be in a jurisdiction which is financially sound, in a state that is financially sound, you have a much better chance. One of the reasons for the popularity of Lewis County is they have good local law and order with great community organization. There's a lot of community organization there and a lot of attention paid to, making sure silly business doesn't go on. It's October, so it's presidential debate time in the United States. We saw Pence debate Harris this week. Harris is a pretty scary character. She was the one who gloated about the fact that protests were going to continue well after the election, and I believe that's true for a variety of reasons. If you look at the pleasure she draws from that kind of trouble and violence, it's going to be scary if the Democrats win. There's no doubt about that. We said she's a four-chakra Dick Cheney. Whitney Webb just published a great article. The vaccines, about $6 billion of the Warp Speed vaccines have been delegated to contractors to put out the contracts to the big pharmaceutical companies. And that's to engineer a kind of secrecy and speed that is pretty frightening. The Biden camp wanted to do the second debate virtually, and Trump has refused, said he will not do a virtual debate. So with almost no campaigning and no debating, it's going to be quite an interesting month. One of my favorite tweets this week was Kamala Harris had apparently said, seven members of George W. Bush's cabinet are supporting our ticket. And the fellow tweeted out, imagine this being your big selling point. That's pretty funny. Fox's latest poll shows Biden with a 10-point lead. The same poll shows that 49% believe their neighbors will vote for Trump, and only 39% will vote for Biden. It looks very similar to what happened last time. If you look at the turnout on the ground, Trump's got it if it was a fair election, but it ain't going to be no fair election. One person sent this in from San Francisco. I walk our dogs 2 to 3 miles a day around our area in San Francisco, and I just realized there are many more American flags flying on homes around here than Biden-Harris signs. I can count Joe's signs on one hand and have fingers left over. There are quite a few flags, with more going up every day. And Harris was DA here. Guess she didn't make many friends. My guess on the election, again, is in a legitimate vote, Trump wins, but there's no telling with the ballots. And I think the dirty tricks, it's only October 9th. We got a whole month of dirty tricks. They're going to be flying. Also, the white supremacy shriekometer is jumping over the moon, and part of that is just a tactic to go after Trump. But it's been a tactic I've talked about for a couple years. And if you look at the effective pushback against central control, transhumanism, COVID-19, a lot of the people are educated, experienced white men. If you look at our heroes page at pandemic.salieri.com, imagine what that page would look like if we had to delete all the white men. So, it's a tactic. Don't fall for it. Don't take it personally. Somebody's trying to kill you. Don't try and reason with them. You have to understand it's a strategy and it's a vicious one, and you have to be able to outwit it. A note on snitches. There was a sting, 6 people, and then the latest headline was 13 were arrested for an alleged plot to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Lord knows I can see why they feel that way. She's the governor who, after the Supreme Court ruled that her COVID-19 policies were unconstitutional, she announced that she had other authorities. Now, when the state Supreme Court rules on a state law issue, there is no higher authority. It sounds like Jack Kemp when he said, the law, I don't have to obey the law. I report to a higher moral authority. There we go again with the higher moral authority. Anyway, so let me read you this from the article. The complaint describes one meeting in June at a business owned by Mr. Fox in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Attendees went into a basement accessed by a trapdoor hidden under a rug on the main floor, the complaint says. Mr. Fox allegedly took away everyone's cell phone to avoid monitoring, but a confidential informant was wearing a recording device and able to record the meeting, according to the complaint. Now, here's what's interesting. If you go back and read the story of the various efforts to enforce against the militia or enforce against various political groups, it's oftentimes the informant or the snitch who's trying to gin them up and talk them into doing something illegal. Now, I have no idea if that's the case here, but it wouldn't surprise me. So please note, it's a big business to create these kinds of headlines and to create these kinds of situations. So, you know, beware the snitch, beware the informant, beware the person who's trying to gin up these kinds of situations, because they're a great way to break up any opposition. You know, instead of them doing something legal, talk them into doing something illegal and then nail them and you've got a headline and you stop the effective action they were going to take. Our hero this week is so wonderful. You have to watch the video at the commentary, the hero commentary at Soleri. His name is Officer Zachary Jackson of the Portland Police Bureau. And it's an interview about all of his work while he was serving as a policeman during the different Portland protests and riots. And every time a black person who was participating in the protests would try and talk to him or ask him a question, sure enough, a white Antifa person would come running up and stop the conversation. So after this had happened many times, he was describing to somebody the fact, you know, that it always happened. And they asked why. And just as they asked why, sure enough, along they came another white Antifa person or BLM, I'm not sure, one or the other, came and stopped the conversation. And so they asked her, why are you doing this? Why are you stopping two black people from being able to talk to each other? And she said, I don't know. I was just told to do it. It's another perfect little insight, like the one I read you last week from the protests in Europe. You know, you're dealing with a serious mind control operation and this is a serious financed, organized operation. But Jackson is in the same position we're all in that, you know, all these different things are being designed to stop the conversation. Stop the conversation, control the conversation. But you have to see it. It's just the perfect metaphor for the game we're all in. It's a war. These are the tactics. Our blast from the past is something I wrote about Soleri Report subscribers in 2012, and it's just as pertinent today. I call you the people who hold up the world, and you can go read it. I won't read it to you here, but it's amazing. It's amazing the weight you carry in the world quietly. Quite wonderful. That's why every time we can create a way for you to meet and connect and get together, it's so much fun. It's so much fun when the people who you can count on get to meet lots of other people that you can count on. For Let's Go to the Movies, I chose a new documentary that's gotten quite a circulation. It's called a docudrama, and it basically describes a lot of the engineering behind surveillance capitalism and the dirty tricks that the tech industry uses. One of the interviewers is Shoshana Zuboff, who says, you know, this stuff should be illegal. And she's right. It should be illegal. Now, the documentary doesn't begin to go far enough. It doesn't dive into the TrueStream, what TrueStream's been able to dive into on all the mind control. All of that still needs to be documented and come out. And, you know, but the social dilemma is a good first step. So maybe it only goes 5% of the way, but, you know, that's how we get to 100%. We start and go 5. Anyway, it's worth watching to help you understand how extraordinarily corrupt and unethical our existing social media and tech industry is, and the leadership. I kept being reminded as I was watching it of the great Utah Phillips. He once said, the earth is not dying, it's being killed. And the people killing it have names and addresses. It's one of the reasons why I was so sort of shocked by the Klaus Schwab's book on COVID-19, The Great Reset, because when they were talking about inequality, I don't think they, don't you guys realize that the people most likely to be financing and profiting from these riots and protests are coming to your meeting in Switzerland, and probably, you know, they're having conversations there about doing the kind of things that are being done in opportunity zones in the United States, and that, you know, things like that are the source of inequality and the $21 trillion missing and the bailouts, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe you want to be careful before you publish propaganda about those events. Our interview tonight is part 2 of News Trends and Stories with Dr. Farrell. This was a very rich conversation, and it's interesting. I had said in subscriber input that these things had gotten very long, and I was trying to look for ways to cut them back, and many people came back and said, no, don't cut them back. So next time I won't rush it. It's plenty long, you know, but Joseph and I are always trying to figure it out, and I get so much great insight and, you know, perspective from him, because he's very strong in watching areas that I don't watch as much, and he's watching more on science and sort of some of the stuff of what's going on in space, and I'm watching more what's happening with the money. And when the two of us get together, I always feel like I come out of the other side of these conversations with a much richer handle on what's going on. And of course, we also, so tonight we do culture, science and technology, space, food and health, and the 22 unanswered questions. Our story number 16 is the moon and opportunity zone. And I want you to know that's a really serious question, because I think all the tech guys can roll over their gains on the moon without taxes. There's a tax deal here, I'll bet you. Okay, ask Catherine. Somebody sent in a nice little ditty. You can pay with cash, past work. You can pay with credit, voluntary future work. Or you can pay with data, involuntary future work. Which do you prefer? That one's worth thinking about. It's in the show notes. Then somebody sent a classic video from The Onion. U.S. government stages fake coup to wipe out national debt. Ha ha ha. It's not so funny now. Miss Fitz, thank you for your constant stream of deep, high-quality information. I've followed you since the beginning and admired your tenacity. You're truly a national good guy hero. My study into the truth of the world has been very broad and deep over these last 12 years, and you've been a great source for both my curiosity and very survival. For this, I'm grateful. I would not expect you to remember, but some time ago when I had a radio show talking about our subjects, I found and contacted you, and while I was very appreciative of your plight and work so far to that date, I questioned your start of a business on these subjects. At the time, several people had done so to profit from the fear, so I asked your intentions. I'm certain it upset you, and for that I'm most sorry. It was a question I needed to ask and did not know the solidity of your work in history as I do now. Please forgive me. Since that time, I don't remember. So I think it was a period when, whether it was on the litigation or starting the new businesses, basically the headwinds were so extraordinary and so fierce that one note of opposition was drowned out by the many thousands of opposition. Since that time, I've referenced you hundreds of times. Hopefully that has helped to make up for my poor actions. The general question, big picture, who do you think is truly driving the events we are experiencing, fear, greed, lust for power? Or is that some hidden component so massive that the whole world will be affected by it? I strongly recommend that you listen to the last couple of news trends and stories with Dr. Farrell and myself, including unanswered questions, because we go through all of this. We go through who and all the different possibilities. We also have done a couple of interviews a while ago on sort of who's really running things. And we go through the different risk issues that they are possibly managing that could explain some of the behavior. But what I would do is I would certainly listen to this news, trends, and stories, but I'd go back. The other thing is that I think it's very important to read State of Our Currency. So that PDF, the magazine PDF, is already up in digital form. And if you are a print subscriber as well, you'll get it in the mail. Again, it mailed this week from the Netherlands, so you should have it. But I think both of those would be helpful. And then you sent some more links, and those are all in the show notes. So then one person writes in and says, what happens to Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies if the U.S. suddenly moves into a digital currency? Will cryptocurrencies retain their value and continue to be used as a minimum of exchange? They will likely continue to be used as long as they're not outlawed. It's very possible that the central banks, once they adopt and prove out their crypto, could outlaw the existing or do something to limit the market. There's no doubt it will shift demand into the central bank currencies, cryptocurrencies, but it will also bring more money into cryptos overall. The one thing I would ask you to remember is please read State of Our Currencies. They're talking about building a system where the crypto is basically tied to everything, to your spatial movement, to your ability to do anything, to generate income. This is a control system. It's not a currency system. So we keep talking about how are we going to make money navigating the system. And the reality is, you know, slaves don't have assets. So in the long run, you know, I think we end up with nothing of any value because it can all be stripped. In the shorter run, I would be surprised if Bitcoin got outlawed, but there's no doubt that a lot of the cryptos will just be driven out by money shifting over to the central bank cryptos. Now, the reality is it's going to bring a lot more money into the crypto space, and it's not all going to go into the central bank cryptos. So if you create the enforcement framework and you create the patina of respectability and you get cryptos integrated broadly, it could go either way. So I think it's impossible to tell what it may or may not do to the price. The people who really trade and have big investments in Bitcoin think because of the limitations on total amount outstanding that it will be net good for Bitcoin, but there's so many cross currents here, it's impossible to say. On any market shakeout like this, very few players survive, so I would be very careful to only have money in the largest ones, and even more, I would be very careful on what you're going to do about the mark of the beast. How may I join a local group? I live in Texas, suburb of Austin, Texas. So we have hosts. Every time we get somebody who's willing to gather and play host in an area, what you have to do is go through a training, and then what we'll do is we'll send invites to everybody in that area who can email that host and go from there. As soon as we have somebody organized and trained in your area, we will let you know. Hi, Catherine. Sorry for sending two emails in one day. I forgot to include this information. And then you sent a lot of information about the way to make money in commodities is to know what China's going to buy. And it's true. China's stockpiling. And there's no doubt if you rode that tsunami, you know, it's a great thing to do. Then somebody sent in a notice about Shelley Luther. She's one of the pandemic heroes, if you look at the second quarter web presentation. And Shelley Luther was a hairdresser who was arrested for opening her hair salon during the lockdown. She's now running for state senate. And in the Republican primary, she faced off against five others. So there were six candidates. And she won. But there's a runoff because there were two that were very close. Anyway, so she's in a runoff that's, as far as I know, it hasn't been scheduled yet. It'll be before November. And I think she's going to win. She'd be great. It's funny how great politicians are made. Then somebody sent some information about Michael Moore's new documentary, Planet of the Humans. He's the executive producer, and it's funny to see that Jimmy Dore did a show with Max Blumenthal on it. It's kind of cute. Anyway, we had recommended that documentary and Let's Go to the Movies. I really believe there's a deeper story on renewables, and I'm trying to figure out how to organize a major look at energy. Jim Norman's not available. He would be the perfect person to do it, but if you have any thoughts on who really understands the real deal on the energy world, I'd love to take a look at it because there's a lot of money pouring into renewables and it doesn't make economic sense. But then, of course, you know, with technocracy, there's a lot that doesn't make economic sense on planet Earth. Hi, Catherine. Are you aware of the German lawsuit? Yes, we just talked about it earlier. And it's amazing what the Germans have been doing. As far as I know, there is not yet a legal filing, but I'm going to keep my eyes out looking for it. Then somebody sent the sort of the link on the rumors that there were assassination teams out for Trump, and that's why he'd been moved into the sort of under the Navy's protection, which would make a lot of sense. If you're going to protect a president from assassination, the number one candidate for the guy who runs the deep state is the Navy. And so if you're going to protect the president, going out to sea on a naval ship is not a bad idea. Hi, Catherine. Thank you for your response to my questions regarding geoengineering. And then this is a long description of somebody who I had given them a lot of recommendations on sort of how to get your mind around what we know about the global spring. And anyway, so it sounds like it had been really useful. Dear Catherine, I think you would be greatly encouraged by the info and perspectives at the following site. Okay, they sent a recommendation that's all in the show notes. Catherine, I first discovered you and Solaria in 2014. I was going through foreclosure. I learned so many things about the housing market and more since then. One night when I couldn't sleep, I was listening to Dave Ramsey on the radio and talking about his foreclosures and never missing a payment. I've read about the savings and loan mess, President Woodrow Wilson, Andrew Jackson, the Indian land. The story goes on and on, doesn't it? Solomon was right. There's nothing new under the sun. I too love Gideon. I love how God kept reducing the number of people he needed. Brings hope when days seem dark. Being a subscriber, you've taught me so much. I retired in 2017 along with three other co-workers. We started a Bible study. I've always thought that I knew my Bible. It was so wrong. Most churches don't even go deep into the Bible. We started studying Genesis and walking through it slowly. We've used Thomas Horne's Forbidden Gates, how genetics, robotics, artificial intelligence, synthetic biology, nanotechnology, and human enhancement herald the dawn of techno-dimensional for one study. Wow. Along with Zenith 2016, the church is late getting to the discussion. I've listened to your spiritual warfare presentation many times. I'm in the process of reading The Invisible Rainbow. Wow. I read Corey Diggs also. You're right. If we can admit it, God can fix it. I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for being who God made you. Thank you for helping us to try and make sense of a world that often does not make sense. You've helped to open my eyes in so many ways. I wanted to share this song with you. My worth is not what I own. All our worth is so much more than that. I read your tweets. Thank you for all you do. I just wanted you to know how grateful I am for what you do to show the world as it really is. Thank you. I've made my day. Hi, Catherine. Thank you for doing the work you do to help us. A question, reinjections, vaccines. Why do you think they have not injected many already with bioways and nanotechnology? I see they are offering free flu shots. Why not trick those into thinking the vaccine for COVID is the place where the DNA altering is when it really is an all flu vaccine, etc. shots? Do you notice how feminine males, especially white males, have become? Why don't you think the process started years ago and now they are being exposed for doing more than it's really no more than what they've been doing? I agree. It's been going on all along. It's the spraying. It's the food. It's the pharmaceuticals and the injections. But the new ones, I think, are a whole new level of dangerous. There's a great video by Dr. Christine Northrup with Polly Tommy that we posted under Daily Salary on the homepage. And that will give you a sense of why, even though, yes, I think this has been going, I think they've had nanotechnology in the spraying. I think they've had nano dust, you know, on things we buy. I think they've had nanoparticles in the food. You know, so they've been doing everything they can to get a receiver into our body. And as I said, you know, I've seen just very high levels of metal toxicity, particularly in the United States. I don't see it as much in Europe and in Australia, New Zealand, etc. But yeah, I think this has been going on for a long time. It's what I call the great poisoning, and it's one of the reasons I think we have to be very radical about where we buy our food and what's in it. Okay, that's it for tonight. Next week, we have the equity overview, but I've gotten so many questions on financial planning that I decided to invite one of our financial planners who's a subscriber, Leith Harmon. She's been a financial planner for many, many years, extremely, extremely experienced and knowledgeable. So I wanted her to do a financial planning section. I'll do a shorter equity overview. Then the following week, the last part of our third quarter wrap-up, Visions of Freedom with Nina Hein. Nina's the creator and author of the Food for the Soul column and podcasts. If you haven't discovered them, they're one of the best things at Solari. You can just link from Food for the Soul to on the homepage to the Food for the Soul website. She publishes two columns a month and then does quarterly special Food for the Soul spread in the wrap-ups. But this time I asked her to help us with Visions of Freedom. I think when you're in a very dire period, it's time for the Jatino, the magic that comes in dangerous times. And part of that is revisiting the images and ideas of freedom which inspired the ancestors. So I asked Nina to go back through the centuries and see what the artists have taught us about freedom and how to envision our freedom. So until next week with the equity overview, we're also going to have a great Rambus chartology. Don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night. Good luck.